All right, so tonight we are going to be learning a sugya that we could call it Bitul Shem Pat, or we could call it Hay Chavitza, because that's what the Gemara actually calls it. And it's basically a sugya that's put together from Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph 37a and Lamed Zayin Amud Bet 37b. So we'll learn a small section on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph because it's critical for understanding Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, and then we'll jump over there. So here we are. It's actually right after the last thing that we learned last time. It says, "Vatanya akoses et achita mevarich aleha barei pri ha'adamah tachana afa'a ubishla bezman she'aprusot kayamot betchila mevarich aleha motzi lachem min ha'aretz levasof mevarich aleha." Gimel brachot. Im ein a persot kayamot betchila mevarach aleha berim minim zanot, levasof mevarach aleha bracha achat min shalosh. If a person is chewing on pieces of grain, okay, this is uncooked, unprocessed grain, so the bracha on that is brei pri adama because it grows from the ground. But once you grind it up and you bake it into bread, then of course the bracha becomes Hamotzi. But then it says over here, Tachana afa ubishla. What's ubishla?
Boiling.
Well, to cook, right? To cook in water. Afa is to bake. Rashi comments, says, Lachar sha'afa batanur v'asa lechem chazar bishla b'mayim. In other words, you first made it into regular classic bread, and then you went and you put it into some kind of pot with water, and you were cooking it. Okay? So you did that after it. So what happens when you do that? So actually, theoretically, not much really changes. It says here, if zman shaprusot kayamot, if the pieces of bread are still existing, if they still kayam, then you still make hamotzi and you do Birkat HaMazon at the end. But if the prusot are not kayamot, then you make a mizonot at the beginning and an alamichya at the end. That's bracha achad meichalosh. What interests us in this? What do we need? What remains to be understood over here?
What do we mean exactly by prusot kayamot?
Exactly. What does that mean when we say ein
I'm
prusot
not
kayamot?
answering your question. I'm asking because I don't understand exactly what that means.
Well, your question is the answer to my question, because my question was, what do we lack over here? And the answer is, we lack, what is this nature, prusot kayamot or prusot enan kayamot? Now, Rashi says for a prusot kayamot, he just simply says shelo nimochu bebishulan. What does that mean? Nimochu bebishulan. What's nimuach?
Melt, they
Melt. Right.
dissolve, they
Right.
dissolve.
Yeah. To dissolve. Right. To dissolve and be removed from existence. So according to this Rashi, what does the Gemara seem to be saying? What's Prusot Kayamot or Einan Prusot Kayamot?
Whether we see the grains or not, perhaps.
Well, you know, it's pieces of bread at this point, right? You took a piece of challah and you put it into a pot and you cooked it up with some other things, let's say. So according to Rashi, whether you say hamotzi or mezonot depends on what? It seems to depend on whether or not it becomes dissolved. That's what Rashi says. Nimochu v'bishulan. The simple understanding of Rashi, at least at this juncture, is that it's completely
And
gone.
where's the third
So, we can keep going on the Gemara because it basically goes on to the subject of orez, of rice. But I want to stop there, and I want to jump to the other side of the page, which is where our sugya really is. Okay, so here we are, back in the Gemara over here. This is Lamed Zayin Amud Bet. Took a brief hiatus. We skipped a little bit. Amar Rava, new food. Hai riata de chaklai. Okay, so this is a kind of a dish of a farmer. You know, when I first read this, I thought, oh, it's shepherd's pie, right? That's what it sounds like, right? Rashi says, Riata uchavitz kedera. It's a dish that has in it, as the Gemara is going to explain, the mavshi bekimcha. It's got in it honey, right? Or dates and kemach. Okay, so it's some kind of kugel, it sounds like. Now, the mafshi bekimcha doesn't just mean that it has in it flour. What does mafshi bekimcha mean? Rashi says, shemar bimbo kemach, right? So it's got a lot of flour. So it's mostly flour. That's what it looks like. So the Gemara says, mevarech borei minei mizonot. You make a mizonot. What else could you possibly have made? What other bracha might you have made on this?
You would make him hamotzi.
One option is hamotzi. What's the other option? Whatever the other ingredient is. This has got, this has got, like I said before, what is it exactly? I think it's honey. Honey, date honey, and flour. So in theory, you could have made ha'aitz on it. But we don't. We make a mizonot. Why? The Gemara says, my time. Huh? The smida ikar. Because the smida is the ikar. What's smida? That's the grain. Because the grain is really the ikar of the food. So, tam ke ikar, we make a bracha on the smida. De mechuza, de lo mahafshi bekimcha. But it happens to be that in mechuza, a different place, where they didn't put in so much kemach, okay? Not in the bnei kfar, but in mechuza, in the big city, where they didn't put in so much kemach, over there, they actually make a shakol niya bedvaro, not even a ha'etz. Of course not a ha'etz. Why don't they make a ha'etz? They make a shakol niya bedvaro, my time a dub she'ikr, because they're making a bracha on the dvash. Why do they not make a ha'etz? The dvash comes from a tamar. We learned this already, right? Why do they make a ha'etz? You've got a fruit, the tamarim, and you take the dvash from it, why shouldn't you make a ha'etz on that?
The juice of a fruit is a shakol.
Except for
olives and grapes?
Except for olives and grapes. Olives are a bori pri ha'etz when you do it in medicine, and grapes are a bori pri ha'gefen, of course. Okay, so.
What do you mean when you do it in medicine?
Well, we learned this. We said shemen zayit you can't drink by itself. It's impossible. Or at least it's not healthy. And you probably would not make a haitz on it if you did that. The only way to eat shemen zayit is to put it in some other concoction, because the whole purpose of it is to make your throat feel better. That's what the Gemara says on, I think it was Lamed Hey Amid Bet, Lamed Hey Amid Vav Amid Aleph, or something like that.
Okay.
So, my time, a dove shaker, because in Mechuza, they relaxed. They didn't want all the carbohydrates, so they didn't put all the that much flour in there. They'd rather have the dvash for them, the tamarim. So the Gemara says v'hadar amar Rava, and Rava went back and he said another point. Aidi v'aidi b'raymin emizanot. The Rava says no, it's always b'raymin emizanot. Now before we even go, I'm not even going to show it to you. Why is Rava going to say that even in Mechuza, where they take it easy on the smida, on the flour, you still say b'raymin emizanot? Anybody remember from a previous year, why do you still say a borei minei mizonot over there?
Isn't there a klal that a mizonot is generally not tafel?
Pretty much. That's what we said, right? I divide borei minei mizonot. The Rabbi Shmuel Dami Shavayu, kol sheyesh b'chameshet aminim mevarchen alav borei minei mizonot. That was the whole sukkah that we learned last time. Anytime, pretty much. We said there are exceptions, of course. But pretty much every time you have flour in something, it's always going to be a borei minei mezonot, almost every single time. So even if the smida is not overpowering, if it's not a rove, nevertheless, it's always going to be the ikar, or at least you're going to make the bracha on it. We talked about last time whether or not that rule is a rule of tam ke ikar, or whether it's ignoring tam ke ikar and just saying, no, we always make a bracha on the mezonos. Okay, but here is our chavitza. Amar Rav Yosef, Hi chavitza, to eat be peruvin kazayit betchila mevarech alav amotzi lachem min haaretz ulevasof mevarech alav shalosh brachot. The late be peruvin kazayit betchila mevarech alav borei minei mizonot ulevasof bracha achat mein shalosh. So we have this chavitza. A chavitza. It's a specific type of food. Now what's a chavitza? So Rashi says, ke'ein shalnaikuk. Shemefarin b'tocha ilfas lechem. All right, everybody here has had a shlanaikuk. I don't even know what language this is. It certainly doesn't sound like French. I don't know what language it is, and I don't know what this thing is, but we know that it's made by sprinkling crumbs or small pieces of bread into an ilfas of lechem. What's an ilfas? It's a pan, okay? It's a pan.
Rashi's word slanaikuk sounds a little bit like Salonika to me.
Oh, but that's a place.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't. I know when Rashi has these foreign words, the shin is usually a sin.
Oh, okay. So over here, I don't know what it is, but it's basically some kind of dish that you put bread into it, and you're basically cooking this bread into something. Okay? You're putting it into a pan, and you're going to fill that pan with something. That's the ilfas lechem. So, but what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says, with this chavitza, what's the halacha? So the halacha is, it depends how big the pieces of bread were when you put them in. So if they were a kezayis, then you make a hamotzi on whatever comes out of there. But if they're less than a kezayit, they're really small pieces, then you say a bari me'im mizonot and a alamichya at the end. Okay? That's what Rav Yosef says about this chavitza. Now, before we even go any further, trying to figure anything out, Rav Yosef explains to you where he got this idea from. Amar Rav Yosef, mina minala. How do I know that I'm right? How do I know that on this chavitza, it depends how big the pieces are? If the pieces are big, then you make amotzi. If the pieces are small, then you make mizonos. How do I know? D'tanya, there's a braisa. Haya omeidu makrev menachos b'Yerushalayim. So it's actually a braita about kachim. Okay, we're talking about when the Kohanim would bring their menachot. Menachot are korbanot that are made from flour. Okay, so when a Kohen would do his first korban, he would say, Baruch Shechayanu v'kiyamanu v'kiyanu lezman hazeh. This is inaugurating himself as a Kohen. That's how you inaugurate yourself. You bring a mincha. Then, natlan lo'ochlan mevarech hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And he would pick up the mincha, and he would make a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Now, why is this important, that he made a hamotzi lechem min haaretz? Well, we need to find out, what did this mincha look like? Betaniala v'chulan potetan kazayit. Because it was made up of small pieces that were kazayit. And that's apparently why he would make a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Rashi says, we're talking here about a minchat machavat. This is a mincha that was put into a deep pan. They're baked. Okay, they would pick small pieces. The proof, Rashi explains, that Rav Yosef brings is that the Braita seems to say that the reason why the Kohen makes a hamotzir is because he's thrown in pieces of bread into the mincha, which are the size of kezeitim. So because he used big pieces of bread, so he's able to make a hamotzi. That's Rav Yosef's proof that it all depends on how big the pieces are. Now, here's a question before we continue. Is Rav Yosef trying to prove that you should make a hamotzi on a chavitza that has pieces of bread which are a kazayit? Or is he trying to prove that you should make a mezonot on a chavitza that has pieces that are smaller than a kazayit? What do you think? Did everybody understand the difference between what I said?
Why can't we say he's making both points?
He could be. Then you have to really be medayik that it was exactly a kazayit. You could certainly prove both here. Okay, so that's what Rav Yosef says. Now Abaye responds. Amalei Abaye, Elameyata Latanet Be Rishmal Damar Porchan Achem Achaziran LeSultan. Abaye points out that according to Tanet Be Rishmal, you actually break it up. You break up this the bread until it returns to flour. Hachinami de Abaye Bruche. That means that if you break it up until it's pieces of flour and then put it back together again, which is what you do for a mincha, then you shouldn't make a hamotzi on that, right? Rashi says, "Porchan la menachot ha'afuyot ala machavad ve'al marcheshet kodem mitzah ad shemachziran l'sultan." They actually take this bread and they crush it up until it becomes solet again, and then they build it again. So according to this, you shouldn't make a hamotzi on that, on those kinds of menachos, of menachos. So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me, yeah, that's right. V'chite ma'achinami, yeah, you don't say hamotzi on that. But no, it's not true. V'atanya, lakat mikulan kezayit, v'achlanim chametz, hu anushkaret, v'imatzahu, adam yotza bo'idei chavato be'pesach. But that's not true, because here it says that you could take from all of this, and you could actually be chayav for chametz on Pesach, and you could use that bread. In other words, if you take pieces of flour that were made into matzah, crush it up again, and then make it back into matzah, guess what? That's considered lechem. That's considered matzah. How do we know that just because you're yotzei matzah, this is a good trick. How do we know that just because you're yotzei matzah, then it's considered lechem, and you make hamotzi? How do we know that? The Gemara doesn't make that clear, but Rashi does. Anybody want to take a stab at it? The fact that I would use something for matzah on Pesach proves that it's sufficiently bread enough that it can be considered hamotzi. How do you prove that? So I'll give you a hint. It's in this Rashi over here.
It's lechem only.
Exactly. Rashi says that there's a mitzvah to say in Pesach to eat matzah, berev tochlu matzot, and matzah is called lechem oni. That means it has to be considered lechem. So if you can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah by eating this crushed up, reconstituted matzah, then that means that it's considered lechem. And if it's considered lechem, then you should make a hamotzi. Hamotzi lechem in Eretz.
Why we make a mazonos on matzah meal?
Okay, we'll get to the specifics later. It's a good question. We'll have to get to the specifics later. That's one of the lemaisa questions that we're going to ask. Okay, let's continue. So that's supposed to solve Abaye's problem. Sorry, that's supposed to create Abaye's problem. So Abaye's question is, if you're right, and crushing it down into small pieces, then you shouldn't be able to make hamotzi on it anymore. But we see that you do make hamotzi on it. So how do we explain things? So he says, so the Gemara says, no. Hachamai iskinan b'she'erson. We're talking about where kishachazar v'gablan yachad v'chazar v'afa'an. We're talking about where you didn't just crush it up and then eat it like, you know, mushed together. You crushed it up, you mushed it back together, and then you went and baked it again. You made new matzah. You made new bread from the old bread. That's what you did. So now it's real bread. So that's why you're making hamotzi. That's the case. That's the case in this brisa over here of kulan pitetan kazayit. So he says, no. Yachi emesefa v'husha achlan b'chdei achilat pras v'ibishar san hai sha'achlan sha'achlo mi ba'ileis. He said, no. The text does not bear that out. Because if you had taken pieces and then mash them together and re-cook them or re-bake them, then it would how many pieces would you have? One piece. So it would be sha'achlo, but it doesn't say that. It says sha'achlan, right? It says over here, l'tan de b'bishma damar porchan ad shemachziran l'sultan, and then the end says v'achlan, you're going to make a hamotzi. So why is that? So I give a different answer. Hacha ma'eskinan baba milechem gadol. The answer here is that it's not about what it becomes, about where it came from. Meaning that you're eating small pieces of the bread, right? You're eating small crumbs of the bread, but those small pieces of bread came from a large piece of bread which still exists. So I like to think of it like, you know, if you broke off a small piece of challah from a large piece of challah. So what you're holding in your hand, the small piece, that's still challah. That's obviously challah because it just came from the big challah. So the same thing over here. As long as there is still in existence one large piece that it came from, So then it's still going to be a hamotzi. So the Gemara, so that's where the Gemara ends with that discussion. But now it wants to know lamaisa, what's going on over here. My havi'ala. My havi'ala is what the Gemara says when it wants to know, okay, we've had a long discussion. What's the bottom line? That's what my havi'ala means. My havi'ala. What comes out of this? So Amar Rav Sheshet, we haven't seen Rav Sheshet yet. We've seen Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Sheshet, hai chavitza, right? Sounds exactly like Rav Yosef. Hai chavitza, afal gav delayed be pirurin kezayet mevarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Even though it's got small pieces that are the size of a kezayet, you still say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Okay, even though they're small pieces. Okay, and then Rava jumps in and adds his two cents. Amar Rava, v'hu de'ika ale tarita de'nahama. As long as it has tarita de'nahama, what's tarita de'nahama? What's nahama?
It has the shape or the form of the original.
Yeah, that's what Rashi says. Yes. So Nahama is bread.
Yeah, right? I cheated and repeated that Rashi.
Right. Okay. Nahama is bread, is Aramaic for bread. Nahama de Mehemnuta, Nahama de Kisufa. Nahama is bread. And Tarita, if you switch out the tuff, what do you switch the tuff with? You're allowed to switch the tuff with the tzaddik. That's what you're allowed to switch the tuff with the tzaddik or with the shin sometimes. Sometimes with the shin, sometimes with the tzaddik. Tzurah, this is tzurah. Tarita de Nahama is tzurat ha-apat. That's really what it means. It's tzurat ha-apat. It has the shape or the appearance of bread. In other words, Rava says this will only work as long as it retains the shape and appearance of bread. Okay, we're going to stop there.
How does he answer the Pesach issues then if it's really resolves that? Well, that's not relevant.
Pesach issue, which Pesach issue? Why are you allowed to use
the matzah?
The matzah? Because, as he said before, it came from one large piece. That was what he said before.
It's not lechem. The reason was it was lechem only. And if it's got the appearance of bread, then it's not lechem only.
So the end of the Gemara appears to say that the reason why that was okay was because it came from one large piece. And as long as it comes from one large piece, then it still retains its relationship with that. And it remains... bread, right? That's when it says over here, porchan acha machziran the sultan. That's the case. And at the end, it says, yeah, that's because ba mi lechem gadol. As long as it's ba mi lechem gadol, as we're going to see, it retains its original character.
Is this the bottom line? Is this a psak on how we make the bracha?
Well, we'll see. We have to figure out what exactly is going on over here in order to understand the psak. So let's start. So first, we have to understand that there are two major opinions in the Rishonim about how to understand the actual metzias here, the physical properties of what we're talking about. One is Rashi. One is Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Rashi, in Rashi, keeps things simple. It says, "Kein shel naikuk shemefarin b'toche ilfas lechem." That's what we saw before. You take pieces, small pieces of bread that are ground up, and you put it into a pot or a pan, and then something happens. Okay, in ilfus lechem. Now, what happens? So, for this, we need Tosfot and all the other Rishonim that explain Rashi. That's this Tosfot up here. Tosfot says, "Perish Rashi k'mosh l'naikok v'im tomer v'atanya le'el b'zman shaprusu." Okay, so what is this going on over here? K'mosh l'naikok. I guess we do need the other Rishonim in order to understand what's going on over here. Let me see if I can help you by finding. Do I have the rush over here? Did I keep it? Hold on. I think I got rid of it. Basically, what Rashi says is that
the rush is in front of us, right there.
I know, but it's not the right one. Basically, what happened is that Rashi says you're cooking the bread. You're cooking small pieces of bread. Now, does that sound familiar to anybody?
Sounds like a matzah brei.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, does it sound familiar to another source that we saw? Remember I showed you the previous daf? What did it say on the previous daf? It says that if a person breaks up chita and eats it, he has a brei pri adama. But if he bakes it and then cooks it. So bezman shaprusot kayamot b'tchila mevarach aleh hamotzi lachem min haaretz ulesof mevarach aleh gimel brachos. Im ein haprusot kayamot b'tchila mevarach aleh barei mi mizonot. If the pieces are kezayit, then you make a barei motzi lachem min haaretz. If not, then you make a barei mi mizonot. So Tosos asks on Rashi. He says, I don't understand. Rashi, that was the previous Gemara. Vim tomer v'hatanya le'el bezman shaprusot. Ein haprusot kayamot b'tchila mevarach aleh motzi. And the previous Gemara says that in order to continue to be able to make hamotzi, you have to have them be kayamot, right? They have to be kayamot, which Rashi seemed to say meant that they have to be in existence bichlal. They have to be not completely dissolved.
They have to be intact.
Right. But over here, it doesn't seem to say that. There's no mention of kayamot, not kayamot. So Tosfos asks this as a question in Rashi, and he answers, "V'yeshlomer de Rav Yosef mefaresh le." Rav Yosef is not a new statement; he's explaining the braita on the previous daf, the previous amud. It's not a new Gemara; it's a continuation of that Gemara. Rav Yosef mefaresh le haprusot kayamot, chaynu. Bekezayit, and the previous Amud, when it said, if the prusot are kayamot, then you make a hamotzi. If the prusot are not kayamot, you make a mizonot. We assumed, David, what did we assume? We assumed that prusot einan kayamot meant?
They already dissolved.
That they're gone, that they're finished, yeah. They're gone, right? So, but over here, what does Tosfos explain? That no, prusot einan kayamot just means that they're smaller than a kezayit. And prusot kayamot means they're still a kezayit. Ve'ena prusot kayamot b'she'en ben kezayit. That's it. So that means that Rashi, according to Tosfos at least, is explaining our Gemara as a pshat or perush of the bright on the previous Amud. Rav Yosef explaining the previous Amud. In fact, the Yerushalmi says this. Yerushalmi, when it addresses and quotes the same braita as the previous Amud, says exactly this. But Tosfos is not done with Rashi. So Tosfos says, but wait a second. Rav Yosef first said his statement, and then he said, you know what my proof is? My proof is this whole story with the Menachos, that the Kohanim, they would break up. They would cook their perurei lechem and then end up making a hamotzi on them. Yes. Okay. They would make that they would make hamotzi on them. So what's the dimyon? Tosfos says, what's the connection between the two of them? There's no connection. Why does Rav Yosef think that one of them is a proof for the other? When according to Rashi, we're talking about cooking. We're talking about cooking according to Rashi, but in the Menachos, you're not talking about cooking. You're talking about frying it with some oil. Is cooking the same thing as frying? So that's Tosfos' answer. His answer is yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. He says that's the dimyon. The dimyon is that the Kohanim, when they fry their bread in Shemen, that's the same thing as cooking. Now, this is a big chiddush. The chiddush over here is apparently that cooking is the same thing as frying. That is far from obvious. This actually brings us into sugyas on Shabbos of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, Yesh Bishul Achar Tigun, Ein Bishul Achar Tigun, whether or not frying and cooking are the same thing on Shabbos is a very, very big sugya. But we don't want to go into that right now. For our intents and purposes, Tosfos is basically saying that Le'inyan Brachot, cooking and frying are the same thing. Fine. Now he ends and he asks one last question. Umiyu, kashe delakat mikulan kezayit dekaya chamesha taminim v'lo amenachot kamo shafarish v'hatam nami lomari b'shinit bashlo. My medam lechavitza. I want to skip this question because it just goes backwards into a different sugya. And here's his explanation. Lachach nir eli. This is a big deal. Again, according to Rashi, our sugya of chavitza is talking about cooked bread that gets cooked. Tosfos disagrees. Nirali chavitzainu peruin hanidbakin yachad al yidei marak. Al yidei chalav, kamo chavitza de tamri shehanidbakin. Tosut says, we're not talking about cooked bread, we're just talking about mushed bread. Bread that gets mushed, small pieces of bread that get combined together through some kind of sticky medium like milk or soup, like a broth. Just like chavitza de tamre is this cake of tamarim, like a tamar cake. That's what it is. That comes up a lot. So he says the same thing over here. In other words, there's no cooking going on. So according to Tosfot, this chavitza is simply small pieces of bread combined together with some kind of sticky medium. Now, this is interesting only because of the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara, Rav Yosef says, yeah, you're still going to make a hamotzi on this. You still make a hamotzi on the chavitza as long as there's kezayit. But that means according to Tosfot, if there's less than a kezayit, if these pieces are made up of smaller than a kezayit, then what happens? All of a sudden, you stop making hamotzi on it, even though there's no cooking or change going on.
Could I ask you a question here? This chavitza, talking about the, it's sticky in a broth of some kind or something like that. Does that mean it was cooked like that? Or if I break a piece of bread afterwards and throw it into my soup or my broth or something?
That's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. What we're talking about. So, this is the machloket between Rashi and Tosfot about how we actually define what this chavitza is. According to Rashi, it's this cooked bread. You take bread and then you cook it up, small pieces. According to Tosfot, you take small pieces and you combine them together in some kind of mush through some kind of medium. Okay? Now, I just need to show you this because we have to make sure that we don't miss this. Here. The end of the Gemara, when it says Tarita Denahama, right? The end of the Gemara says Rava requires that you have the appearance of bread at the end of the day. So what are we looking at here? So Nira Dainu Keshanotnin Hapiruim Bamayim Vima Mayim it Labnim Mahmata Piruin Azla Lay Tarita Denahama. Tosut says, if you take pieces, small pieces of bread and you drop them into water, if the water changes its color, meaning that the bread has, at least the color of the bread has dissolved and transferred from the bread to the water. The water becomes white from the bread. It comes, you know, misty. Then at that point, the bread is no longer bread. Azalei tarita denahama. Now you may be skeptical, but look at this. V'chein haya ragil Rabbeinu David mimitz. Okay, this Rabbeinu David mimitz. We know Rabbi Lazar mimitz, but this is Rabbeinu David mimitz. L'labein peruin b'mayim b'layla k'dei lo'achlan b'shachar b'lo berkat ha'motzi. Rabbeinu David mimitz, like so many other Jews, was afraid of benching. Right? He didn't want to bench, but he needed a power breakfast. Right? So what did he do? He prepared at night. He put some pieces of bread into some water. And then in the morning, he woke up and he was able to drink that water with just a mezonot, right? B'lo berkat ha'motzi, b'lo berkat ha'mazon, sh'lo la'acher, k'dei sh'yitchazek v'rasho v'yuchal ha'gid ha'alacha. Why? Because Rav David Mimitz used to give the Daf Yomi Shir in the morning, and he used to give the Daf Yomi Shir before, before he went home, and he didn't have time to sit down and eat, you know, a couple pieces of bread, but he needed the carbohydrates, so he would prepare this. Basically, bread shake. Yeah? I know, is there another word for it? It's a bread shake. Bread milkshake, I guess. And that way, he didn't have to bench because he didn't want to spend time benching. He needed to give a shear. What do you think? Who's going to start doing this?
I think that he was late to work, not to say shear.
It says, V'yuchal hagid halacha. He needed to say the Daf Yomi. Now, what do we see from here?
Is this the Baalei Tosfos? So are they justifying him? Why do we have to say this for Yochanan Hagid? Is this justifying the action, or is this like just as an extra tidbit?
No, I mean this is a proof to the first statement. He says, "This is what's tarita dinahama. What does that mean? The appearance." So Tosus gave an extreme example of where we can see that bread will lose its appearance. We're just simply putting it in water. Once the color transfers to the water and the water becomes misty, so then that's already the bread has lost its breadness. It's lost its bread quality, and you can already make a mezonot on it, according to this shita in Tosfos. Okay, so let's go get down to brass tacks. So I saw we've seen that we have these two opinions in the Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos about how to actually read the Gemara Bichlal. Now let me make this bigger. Now we're going to look a little bit more into the halacha. So the Rambam says as follows. He says, "Apat shapiteto tapitim ubishla bekdera o lasha bemarak." This is interesting. The Rambam says, if you take pieces of bread and you either cook it or what's lasha bemarak? You dip it and eat it in the marak, right? If the size is a kezayit, or it still looks like bread, hamotzi. However, im ein ba'en kezayit, oh, she ibrat zurat pat bebishul, v'varech aleh betchila bo'im inei mezonot. In that case, you make a mezonot.
When it says b'tchila, that means first I make the mezonot on these pieces, and then I make the bracha on the soup separately?
No. I don't think so.
It said b'tchila. So it means b'tchila, no, means that's something second.
No, that's a bracha rishona.
Oh, okay. This has to do with what we would call breadcrumbs, or what do you put in the soup? Croutons.
Yeah, it definitely has to do with that. We'll see that. But what I should point out is, let me put it this way. I should have pointed this out before. So Rashi believes, let's break down what actually happened over here. Rashi believes that if you take bread, small pieces of bread, and you cook them in water, whatever, you cook them, okay? Then potentially it will lose its hamotzi. Under what circumstances will it lose its hamotzi?
Size and shape.
If the pieces are smaller than a kezayit, and it would seem if it loses its appearance. That seems to be the end of the Gemara. It's not clear whether Rav Yosef is arguing with Rav Sheshet and Rava, but fine, let's leave that for now. What about, according to Rashi, what if you didn't cook it? What if you just stuck it together with milk? What would the bracha be there? Even if you took small, really tiny pieces of bread and stuck it together with milk, what would Rashi think about that? Hamotzi or mezonot?
Hamotzi.
It seems hamotzi, because Rashi has no source. And so we have no reason to think that Rashi would say that bread will change if you just stick it together, right? If without cooking. Now, Tosfot says exactly that. Tosfot says that if you stick together pieces of bread without cooking them, just putting it together with some kind of liquid to make a big mush, then it can become a mezonot, right? If the pieces are small enough. What does Tosfot think about cooking bread?
It stays as samosa.
Well, is that sure? Are you sure, Joe? What if I take bread, a small piece of bread, and I cook it in some kind of broth, let's say. So does Tosfot think that stays hamotzi or becomes mezonot?
If that stays hamotzi, it's when it's oil, then it becomes mezonot.
But Joe, what about it? What it said on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph? See, you fell into the trap. Tosfot also has the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right? In other words, Tosfot does have a source for the cooking. He just has a new source over here without cooking. That's what Tosfot's point. Tosfot says these are two different Gemaras. They have nothing to do with each other. I have one Gemara on Amud Aleph that says that if I cook bread, then I can potentially lose them hamotzi. And then I have another source on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet that says that I can even lose hamotzi if I small pieces of bread and I stick them together. Rashi doesn't have that second thing. But Tosfot does have both.
Right.
But there is one more detail. According to Rashi, yeah, Rav Yosef is explaining the previous Gemara. So when it says that prusot enan kayamot, as Tosfot pointed out, Rashi thinks that that means that it's no longer a kezayit. What does Tosfot maybe think that that means? It could be that Tosfot thinks that that means completely enan kayamot, right? Which means that it could be that according to Tosfot, even if you cook it, it may actually still remain hamotzi, but it's not clear. Okay, now we can continue. What do we see in the Rambam? How does the Rambam view this sugya? Does the Rambam view the sugya like Rashi, like Tosfot, or like something else? What are the Rambam's conditions?
Rashi.
Rambam requires both. Requires a kezayit and a surat hapat.
Well, I would have said it's the inverse. It's either, no? Not both, either. If it's either a kezayit. If it's either a kezayit or it has surat hapat, it keeps its mamotzi. If it loses both, no, wait, did I read that wrong?
No,
I think I did read that wrong. Hold on. Actually, this is confusing. There's a stira, isn't there?
Either.
Here, im yesh papitin kezayit o shnikar behen shen pat, then it gets amotzi. But then it's actually confusing. Hold on. B'main ben kezayit o shehibra tzu atrapat b'bishol. Aha. See, it's not so simple. Okay? Do you see what happened over here? The Rambam has a little bit of a stira. It looks like he has a little bit of a stira. Does anybody see the stira?
It sounds to me at the second half of it, which means either or, either one of them could change the quality of it, can change the condition.
But there's a stira. Let's say you cooked and there was less than a kezayit, okay? But it still had surat hapat. So what bracha do you make? Here he says, if there's no kezayit, it sounds like even if there was a tzurat apat, then you'd make a bremin mizanot. Or if there was no tzurat apat, even if there was a kezayit, then you make a mizanot. But over here he says, if there's a kezayit, or if it's nikar shehen pat. Now, if you want to say nikar shehen pat is different than surat pat because of the hate, but I'm not sure what it means, then you make a hamotzi. So what's going on over here?
One's bishul, one's seba marak.
Oh, okay. So that could be. So in other words, if he says avrat surat pat bibishul, then that's different. You're saying you want to switch it out. You want to say over here, bishla b'kadeira,
yeah,
but there's still a kezayit.
Yeah.
Or lasha b'marak, and there's still nikar behen pat. Is that what you want to say, Joe?
Exactly that.
Okay, that could be. It's a weird way for the Rambam to write it, though, right? I would have liked for him to say, bishla b'kadeira im yesh b'ptitin kezayit, oh, lasha b'marak, v'lo nishtana tzurat pat. That's what I would have liked him to say, right?
Yeah.
But fine. Let's forget the Rambam. Let's move on to the Shulchan Aruch because it doesn't get any simpler. I added some colors here and I even added some indentation here to make things easier for us. Imagine trying to read this without the indentations that I did for you. Okay? Chavitza. Dahainu. Puri lechem shenidbakim yachad al yedei merach. Who is he passing? Who is he? Who's the ruling like in order to explain what chavitza is?
Rashi
or Tosfot?
Rashi.
Hiroi lechem shenitbakim yachad al yidei marak.
Tosfot.
Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. So what does it say? Im nitbashel, if it was cooked, then im yesh behem kezayit afu bishein botor alechem mevarech hamotzi. As long as there's a kezayit, you make a hamotzi. Im ein behem kezayit, even if it still has tor alechem, then it's a mezonot. If it was not mevushal, but rather it was just stuck together. In other words, this was all Rashi. Now we're in Tosfot. If it was not cooked, but things were stuck together, then if there's a kezayit, then you still make a hamotzi, even if without tzurat apat. And if there was no kezayit, then if there has a Torah lechem, you still make a hamotzi. And if there's no Torah lechem, then finally make a mezonot. And just for fun, he mentions the case where it's not cooked and it's not mushed up together. It was just crumbled up. So all you have is crumbs. What bracha do you make on crumbs of bread? Even though you can't even tell that it's bread. Hamotzi. You still make a motzi. If no transformation took place at all, you still make a hamotzi. Now, guys, can you imagine reading this without all the colors that I added over here? This is a clause. These are two conditions. This is another clause with a condition. Inside that condition, there's two more conditions. Okay. This is in programming. This is called nested ifs. This is bad coding right here. Okay. This needs to be put in a function. This needs to put in another function. This is not good. But this is what he wrote. Now, can we make any sense of it? Can we see one coherent line over here? Is he passing like one of the Rishonim or the other? You like the colors? The colors. You see the colors? You like them? Can we see a coherent line over here that he's passing like Rashi or Tosfot or anything like that? To me, it's not so clear, right? Because over here, when he says imnit bashel, it sounds like he thinks that bishul is important. That bishul changes everything. It's okay. It sounds like the bishul changes everything, which makes it more like Rashi. But then he says, no, even if it's not mabushal, that still changes things, which is like Tosfot. I want to pinpoint exactly where I think the problem is over here. Let's see. So, for example, here. The case of Nitbashel, right? According to Rashi, this is all correct. Yes, this is all Rashi right here. Everybody agree with me? This is all Rashi? If it was Nitbashel, then it depends if there's a kezayit or not. That's really the most important thing. Yeah? But here's the thing. Is it also Tosfot? Because you notice that it makes a difference if there's a kezayit. But does Tosfot thinks it matters if there's a kezayit or not? If it was cooked? According to Tosfot, the cooking sugya is over here on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. And that's a sugya that just has Eina Prusot Kayamot or not. There's no mention of kezayit over here, correct? Which means that this is neto Rashi. I don't know if I use neto correct over here. But this is all Rashi. Straight up Rashi right here. Shulchan Aruch, not Tosfot. The problem is over here, who's this? This is not Rashi at all. Because here, this is Eina Mevushal. This is totally Tosfot. Rashi doesn't even believe in Eina Mevushal. He doesn't have a Gemara like that. So what are we going to do? It seems to be that he's, I heard it said, he's dancing at two weddings over here. Is the Shulchan Aruch just saying, you know what, we're going to accept both positions and say, you know what, let's just, I don't know if he's being machmir one way or another, let's just be machmir on hamotzi in both directions. Is that what's going on over here? It's possible.
I don't know that these two positions are necessarily mutually exclusive.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
The two positions could coexist, actually.
Conceptually, they could definitely coexist. They could definitely conceptually coexist. But textually, there's no basis, right? Rashi reads the Gemara one way. Tosafot reads the Gemara a different way. And Shulchan Aruch appears to be accepting both. So let's see if we can find a different source, right? We'd like a different source, maybe. So the Mordechai says, Torita de Nahama, Torah Shalechem, Klomar Sharich Shehebo Mar Eshalechem, Klomar Shaloye Nimoach Lagamre Alinikar Viadua Shehulechem. According to the Mordechai, the critical factor over here, really the only important factor, is whether or not there is a Torita de Nahama, there is an appearance of Lechem. And he says, that's how we paskin. Kaimelan Karab Sheshet, Ukarava, that we can even make a hamotzi on crumbs of bread that are not even a kazayit, as long as they have tarita nahama, even if they were cooked. And he says this is even according to Rashi. And he says, by the way, this whole business of Eina Prusot Kayamot, ignore that part, that's something else. And he says, V'nira kishenot nimbam amayim, klomar pirun v'amayim idlabdin, machmana pirun, azalei turitid nahama. He wants to say the same thing that Tosfot says, and he even quotes that Rabbeinu David Mimitz, apparently this is something everybody knew. This was like a gadol story, that Rabbeinu David Mimitz used to do this shtick with his bread shake in the morning. Which means, according to the Mordechai, the key over here really is the appearance of bread. Now, I want to just take this one level deeper by looking at the Rush. The Rush here is quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, but he put it together very nicely. He says there's three things we need to be concerned with. Gimel chilukim yesh behen. Hecha shenit bashlu. Im yesh behen kezayit. If it's cooked and there's a kezayit, then you for sure make a hamotzi, no matter what. V'mein ben kezayit, avagav demechzik tiika ilayhu tarita denahama, ein b'varech alav elaboy minim yisanot. And if there's no kezayit, even if there's a tarita denahama, we don't make a hamotzi when it's cooked. Why? Why? This is critical. Should have bolded this. Why? The cave in Shumavushal ain't no chashuv tor lechem. The act of cooking bread makes it lose its tor lechem. So wait a second. If it makes it lose its tor lechem, then why do I make a hamotzi if I cook more than a kazayit? All right, let's keep going. Vim einu muvushal ela mechubar al yedei dvash o marak im yesh baprusot kezayit mevarech alav hamotzi af b'shein bo tor lechem vim einu baprusot kezayit im yesh bo tor lechem mevarech alav hamotzi vim einu bo tor lechem mevarech alav borei minei mezonot. When it's not cooked, if the pieces are bigger than a kezayit, you still make hamotzi. If the pieces are smaller than a kezayit, then it depends if it has in fact lost its tor lechem, which is apparently, I wouldn't say subjective, but is conditional. What has the Rush said to us? He said that cooking absolutely makes bread lose its Torah lechem. Dropping it in water or combining it and making it into a mush sometimes makes it lose its Torah lechem. Now, what we see from this Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah is that there are, in fact, two factors that interest us about whether or not we should make a hamotzi or a mezonot. And I'm indebted to Rabbi Sobolovsky and Hashira Mayu Torah for making this much clearer. We thought there was only one, but there's actually two factors. What are the two factors that interest us? Quantity and quality. Quantity is a kezayit. Quality is the appearance of lechem. If I have an original piece of lechem, as long as it remains its original size, meaning more than a kazayit, even if I do all kinds of things to it, it remains bread for hamotzi purposes. Once it drops below a kazayit, it's no longer guaranteed to be bread. Now, in order for it to remain bread, it must have the appearance of bread, which means it needs to remain untransformed. Now, one surefire way of transforming it is through cooking. Cooking transforms it. It'll transform it even if it's more than a kazayit. It just won't matter. A non-surefire way of transforming it is putting it in bread or mixing it up with other things. That sometimes makes it lose. You have to look at the bread in order to figure it out. Now we can go back to the Shulchan Aruch and read the Shulchan Aruch again. If it was cooked, then if it remains a kazayit, it's hamotzi. If it's not a kazayit, automatic mezonot. Does it matter whether it has a Torah lechem? No. Even if it has a Torah lechem, we reject that Torah lechem. Why do we reject that Torah lechem? Pinchas, why do we reject that Torah lechem over here? Because it's been cooked. Cooking always makes it lose its Torah lechem. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says, "Af b'shenirish yesh b'Torah lechem," even though you might be fooled into thinking it has a Torah lechem, it doesn't. It's been cooked. It loses its breadness. But if it's not cooked, then if it's a kazayit, then it remains fine. As we said before, it doesn't matter whether it has a Torah lechem or not. But if it's less than a kazayit, then it depends. Im yesh bo Torah lechem, then you make a hamotzi. If ain bo Torah lechem, then you make a mezonot. So ultimately, who is the Shulchan Aruch basking like? Basically, Rabbeinu Yonah, as explained by the Rush. And this is, as my father pointed out, this is a conceptual point, right? Forget about what a chavitza actually is. Conceptually, what interests us is, have we made the bread lose its breadness? There's two ways of making the bread lose its breadness. One is by dropping down. Actually, two things are required to make a bread lose its breadness. Number one, it has to be less than a kazayit. And number two, it has to be no Torah lechem. If it's more than a kazayit, or if it has a Torah lechem, then it remains bread. The only shtick in there is that there's no such thing as baked, as cooked bread that it remain, that retains its Torah lechem. There's no such thing.
I think we can understand that first Rambam with that explanation as well.
Okay? Let's see. Go ahead, Dad, you read it. All right, you can't read it. Your eyes aren't good enough. Hapat shepitet ota pitim ubishla bakdera olasha b'marak. So as Joe Wayman pointed out, so we have two cases over here. You have cooked or, dropped into the water. Im yesh b'ptitin kezayet, o shenikar shen pat, v'lo nishtanet zureta, v'verach ala b'tchilat hamotzi. So far, so good. If it's kezayet, even if it doesn't have a zureta pat, we make a hamotzi. Or if it's less than a kezayit, but it retains its tzurat hapat, hamotzi. So far, so good. V'im ein ben kezayit. And here it gets a little weird. Oh, shavra tzurat hapat bebishol, mevarech aleha betchila borei minim zonot. Still not 100%. I would have liked him to say, im ein ben kezayit, ve'ibra tzurat hapat, oh, she bishelato, whatever. That would have been much better. Okay, can't have everything. Yeah, I'm still unclear in the Rambam. The second half is a little bit troublesome. Okay, I think our principles are clear. Let's get down to some actual examples, okay? So I jotted down on the side over here. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Kaganoff has a nice post about this where he covers a lot of these cases. So, French toast. What bracha do you make on French toast? What's French toast? French toast is bread, okay, that you cook. What bracha do you make on French toast?
It's hamotzi, obviously.
But what's the reason? You're cooking it, right?
Surat Hapat, yeah.
Yeah, so it certainly looks like bread, yes.
So the truth is it has both. First of all, it looks like bread. Also, you don't really cook small pieces of French toast. At least that's not normally the way that it's made. You take nice hunks of French toast. That's how you do it. And even if you end up, by the way, with small pieces, as long as you have some big pieces in there, the Mishnah Berurah says, as long as you have some big piece or even one big piece, it's still going to be hamotzi.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
I'm Joe's father. Is there any question of small pieces being mistarif one to the other to make a kazayas? Because we do have that.
Sure, we do. But it seems that the whole principle over here is that if you're throwing small pieces of bread into the whatever it is that you're doing, and whether it's cooking or whether it's sticking together, right? Well, once you break them into small pieces of bread, they're not mitzdarif anymore. That's what seems to be happening over here.
I see. Yeah. The volume would be more than a kazayas.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. The volume over here is more than a kazayas.
Breaking them up is what we do for a matzah brai. I know we'll get to it soon, but that's what we do for a matzah brai.
Yeah. So before we get to the matzah brai, what about donuts? So this truth is, this is not really our sugya. Why is donuts not really our sugya? Because donuts is actually a sugya of Pasah Baba Kisnin. Why? Because donuts are not made as bread. They're never made as bread. Donuts are mitugan. They're right. Fried to begin with. They're not baked. They're not baked and then fried. They're just fried. If they would be baked and then fried, that would be a different story. But donuts are just fried. Now let's get to matzah brai. So what's the deal with matzah brai? So Dad, explain to everybody what matzah brai is.
I don't think it needs explanation. I think we all know what it is.
You're mistaken. It's, anybody here keep gebracht?
It's a Pesach version of French toast. You break up pieces of matzah and you soak it in eggs and milk and maybe, and if you want, with vanilla or whatever, and you fry it just like you would do French toast.
Good, but what's the fundamental difference between French toast and matzah brai?
In French toast, you've got a whole slice of bread, and in matzah brai, you've got a bunch of pieces.
You've got small pieces, right? You've got really small pieces of matzah. In fact, the pieces are definitely less than the kazayit. That's how you do it. You take matzah meal and you make it matzah brai. At least the matzah brai that I'm talking about is made with matzah meal, right? You take small, tiny pieces of matzah and then you fry them up.
No, the matzah brai that I know is made with broken up pieces of matzah. You take a matzah and you break it into pieces. I've never seen it.
Fine, let's leave it that way. But that's actually Joe's father's point, right?
Okay. Yes, you have
small pieces of matzah that, you know, definitely make up a kazayit when you look at them, and you're frying them up into one big glob over here, right? So what's the story with that? So the truth is, that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. I'll find it for you right now. You're the Mishnah Berurah right here. He actually, the truth is that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about matzah brai. He talks about knedelech. So he says, im pirer halechem, ad shechziran lesolet. Says you do it all the way till it's flour, and then you reconstitute it with shuman v'chayotzebo, shanu korin bilshonenu knedelach o charaznelech. Knedelach is matzah balls, right? What's charaznelech?
Kremzelach. Kremzelach is fried.
Kremzelach.
So what's knedelach?
Knedelach are boiled and kremzelach. Okay. And kremzelach, as far as the recipe that my mother did, were fried.
But okay, good. So perfect. Well. That's perfect. So we're talking about our case. This is the chavitza, according to Rashi, except over here, you know, you break it down, you're gavlan, you mamash, almost re-knead it, right, into a new thing, and you end up with this with this knedelach or kremzelach. So he says, Ayin ba Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham says, Chazar v'givlan becomes bread again, and you make a hamotzi. That's what the Magen Avraham says. He says, you make a hamotzi. But comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, V'haskamat ha'arbe achronim, d'bishlan b'kdeira, o tiknam b'machavat, b'mashke, d'chashiv k'bishul. Av sheyesh b'chol achat, k'zayit, v'yoter, mevarech aleim, borei minei mezonot. According to Mishnah Berurah, this seems to be the way that the Kitzur Sfarim write as well. The halacha is that on Kremzalach and on Knedelach, you make a mezonot.
And that's for anything. Is that include anything with matzah flour, whatever it's called?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So that would also include the matzah brai. And he adds on, v'im afa'an, nachon shelo yochlam. He says, but if you want to cause problems, you'll bake it again. And then I don't know what to tell you. So he says, you really should just eat it during a seudah so that you can avoid any sfeikot. So that takes care of matzah brai and matzah balls.
And soup.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's knedelach and soup. So you're going to eat it as part of a meal. Most people eat that as part of a meal. If you're not eating it as part of a meal, then you make a mezonot.
Yeah.
Okay, now we get to croutons, right? Croutons are the big problem. So croutons, the truth is that, once again, croutons is not really our sugya. Why? Because generally speaking, you have a few different kinds of croutons. You have the fake croutons, which is like the yellow little thingies, right? Those don't look like bread. The soup, I don't know what they call them. We call them soup croutons. Those are the yellow thingies. Those are not bread. Yeah. That's, of course, mezonot.
Shkede marak, the soup.
Fine, those are not bread. But then you have pieces of bread that actually get thrown into the soup. Now, those can be made in many different ways. Let's go mikala la kaved. Some store-bought soup croutons are actually originally fried croutons. They were fried when they were made. They were never baked. And they usually say on the side, mituganim. Okay? So they weren't baked and then fried. They were fried to begin with. Okay? So that is for sure mezonot. Because it was never bread, formally. But what happens if a person takes bread and then fries the bread and then breaks it into little pieces? Then what do you have? What do you think?
Do you mean, did you mean to say fries the bread, or do you mean to say he bakes the bread?
No, he bakes the bread. He takes baked bread. He takes baked bread.
Baked bread, yes.
Bread, fries it.
Oh.
And then turns that into croutons. What's the bracha on that? That's going to be a hamotzi, because it was originally bread, and when it was fried whole. Right? Exactly. It was fried whole, not small pieces. So even though it might have even lost its tzura tapat, which, you know, it's hard to say when you look at it, even if it lost its tzura tapat, it doesn't matter, because it was already bread, and it doesn't lose the bracha when you break it into little pieces. What if a person, though, takes bread, and this, I think, by the way, is what Herbie does in shul. He makes homemade croutons. He takes bread, takes challah, rips it into small pieces, drops it into the deep fryer, and that's how he makes the croutons. What's the bracha on that? That's going to be mezonos. There's some discussion about what happens if you don't deep fry, but rather you only lightly fry. Like, you take small pieces of bread, and then you just put it into a frying pan with some oil in order to, I don't know, to do something to it. There, it's not really clear. There, you probably should make amotzi.
Right, I agree. It sounds like French toast, yes.
Right, that's pretty... Yeah, but if you do it with small pieces. Yeah, that's the other thing about French toast, is that anyways, French toast is probably fine because it's not actually cooked. It's just lightly fried. It's not even considered fried. It's not fat fried. Not deep fried, rather. Okay, that was most of what I wanted to show you tonight. There's some other things to bring up. The Aruch HaShulchan just mentions that we should, you know, everybody knows that if you eat... it's not our sugya, but if you eat pata babakistan, which is, like, for example, cake, which was made, it's bread that's made with other ingredients. So then, if you eat enough of it, then you still make a hamotzi, right? If you eat enough of it. So, you know, if you eat too much cake, then you still make hamotzi. But other foods that never got a hamotzi, like for example, he says kreplach or blintzes, or I don't know what this word is, pampuskis, no idea. So that, it never got a hamotzi. So no matter how much of that you eat, it's always going to be a mezonot. And he also talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about this case. The Shulchan Aruch has the Yesh Misha Omer for Rabbeinu David. Okay? Rabbeinu David, the Shulchan Aruch has a Yesh Misha Omer that if you drop pieces of bread into, small pieces of bread, into a into water overnight and it changes, so then you make a mezonot on there. And he indeed brings that down, lehalacha. But you know what? I think that's enough. We can stop early. We did the Gemara. We did some of the sugya, and we did halacha l'maisa.
Can I ask you a question? The comments you had on the margin, which said what bracha you make on certain items, where did that come from? Whose opinions were those?
So I found a blog by Rabbi Yirmiyahu Kaganoff, very good writer on halacha, and he goes through each one of the sugyas and he points out where in the Mishnah Berurah it's covered. Yeah. And you know, but we've been through it. We figured all of this out.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure. It's good to have you. We lost your mic, Dad. Simon, it's good to see you here. If you're still here.
I was saying bagels are boiled and then they're baked, but we still make hamotzi.
Bagels are baked. What do you mean?
But bagels are first boiled, and then they're baked.
Bagels are first boiled,
right?
And then they're baked. I guess I don't know. Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes
they
sense.
Are.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay, but they're baked. The bread. Tov. Yishar koach, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.